101.7 The Truth. This your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We got the legendary Homer Blow in the building. Speaking of Homer Blow, if you are looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday from 8 a.m. at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Homer, thank you so much for tapping in with us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
For those who don't know, you know, Homer has been a huge, huge instrument in my life, not just entertainment-wise, but he was actually the first person to put me to the side and offer me some lifetime advice that I needed at such a young age in order for me to be successful, not just with music, but just character, how I conduct myself as a young lady, how I'm doing business, how I'm dealing with people. And I say it all the time, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for having you a part of my life. And when I was listening to your story about the DJing and then announcements and all of that, it's something that you told me a long time ago that we talked about too, and that was not being one dimensional.
Right.
So thank you for taking what you taught yourself and telling me, now I know how to pivot.
There you
My
go.
Pivot game is so cold, but you've managed to DJ. You went to Washington High School and started doing school announcements and then worked your way up underage in the clubs.
Yep.
You know, taking over grown folks' jobs,
that
right?
That part.
You've been doing it. And then as your career progressed, you began to become prominent inside of the community. So you start to hold the birthday bashes for the youth. Let's tap into that. How did that come about?
Well, you know, shout out to the late Dr. Gerald Jones and, of course, my boss of 40 years under Dr. Gerald Jones, Miss Sandra Robinson, who's the general manager at WNOV. I never wanted to be on radio. I never wanted to be on radio. So because I was just always doing stuff in the community, and giving people information on where to go get this. And people ask, hey, where I'm looking to do that. I need this. And my family this, my family that. So, you know, working a job too, you know, I was like, here, I'll do this for you. I can try to help you here. I can try to help you there. So I just started trying to help people to the best of my ability. One thing that I never did was overextend it. Like, I knew my limits.
That part.
I'm like, you know what? I can only do to the best of my ability. And my mother, my biological mother, instilled in me, and may she continue to rest in peace. She said, Homer, all you can do is the best that you can do.
Yes.
As long as you're doing the best that you can do, you have nothing to feel ashamed about or nothing to be embarrassed about. She said, if you do feel bad, that means you know you really didn't do the best that you could do.
Come on now.
So I used to feel like, oh, I can't feed everybody, or I can't give everybody a book bag or something like that. And I felt bad. I would beat myself up. And then I started thinking, I'm like, look.
That's all I can
do. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
I still love y'all.
Yeah.
But this is all I could do.
Yes.
So in DJing in all of these clubs, I DJed Mary J. Blige's birthday party at Club Sensations. You know, I was down at DV8, Interns. It's so many clubs. Double C's, which was Circus. Just so many. Even at Main Event. It's just so many clubs that I've been blessed to be a part. I DJed at, what was it, Tropic.
Yeah, Tropic. I remember Tropic.
Yeah, and down at my house, even ended up where, you know, Reggie Smoother's Butter Brown is. I was doing a night down at, it was called Pure. It was called Pure.
On Third.
It was, yeah, it was an old McDonald's, but they turned it into a club, and it had that H2O, you know, where they had the, where if it was hot.
The H2O?
Yeah, but what's the name of it? But it chilled the whole room. You get what I'm saying? It chilled the whole club. And they would just let it off when it was real hot and everybody would just, okay, where is that? I like that.
Yeah.
So just DJing that and a lot of the other different clubs that we've had here, again, from, let's see, Odyssey, which was down, the Hobson Brothers owned that, because that club turned into so many different names. It was a Little Apple, then it turned into Odyssey, then it turned into Black on the Block, and then it turned into Club Sensation. It was a lot in different names, yeah. And I DJed at all of them. Uptown, Rich Man, Poor Man. Like I say, I could just go on and on with the different clubs that I've been blessed to be a part of.
Yeah.
Small bars, one that was on Capitol right across from what used to be the Palace, called D's. I DJed at the Palace. I DJed at Skate University. So, you know, I just multi-dimensional with that. But when I got, and everybody would always say, are you on the radio? I was hosting concerts for Maze, the Fresh Fest, and all of that. And people like, all of the artists, you know, Airbnb, Rakim, whoever, Run DMC, be like, oh, what radio station you on? I was like, I don't work for the radio station.
Yeah.
Like, you should.
Right.
But I wasn't interested in radio. So I was hosting all these different concerts and all of that and DJing all these clubs, packing it out, lines around the corner. And Ernie G, the late Ernie G,
yes,
may continue to rest in peace. He would come to some of the spots and not knowing, like, who I was.
Yeah.
But he was like, man, you ever thought about being in radio? I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
He's like, man, you could be in radio. You got the voice. You got everything. And I said, He said, well, make me an air check. And I said, what is an air check? Because, I want to just hear you reading a public service announcement, which PSA, you know, do a commercial, something 30 seconds long and all of that. And I was like, okay. And he said, you don't have to play the whole song because we know what the song sounds like.
Yeah.
It's about hearing you. And if you're transitioning, which is a segue, then, you know, how did you blend that transition? Were you talking over the lyrics of the song when you came in?
Yeah.
And so I ended up saying, okay, I can do that. I ended up making a tape for him. And I gave it to my brother, the one that was getting me in trouble for using his equipment. Because he was in radio. He was working in radio. But he was supposed to take it to Ernie G. Next time I saw Ernie G, well, he came to see me somewhere else, packed. What happened to my air check? I said, I gave it to my brother. My brother never gave it to him. That happened 3 times.
So now you're forced to do it yourself.
Well, when he came and saw me again, I didn't want to be in radio, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care. You know, I'm like, oh, well, I must have not been what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
So he ended up telling me a 4th time, and he said, hey, I want you to bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the front desk, and that's when it was at 3815 North Tatonia Avenue, I want you to tell them that I'm expecting you. So one thing that you normally don't do, because I've been blessed to be a program director and music director for over 30 years of my career, right, is you don't listen to it while the person is there.
Right.
They drop it off. You go in your office, and if you have several to listen to, and an air check should be really no more than 3 minutes long.
Okay.
If people were making 45-minute tape. No. We know what the song sound like. We need to hear you. So he ended up, so we don't listen in front of them. We listen, and then we can call them and tell them, hey, come in. We'll tell you what we liked or what we didn't like and all of that. So I did all of that, and he ended up getting it. But he called me upstairs, and we listened to it together. Now I'm real nervous. I'm like,
game changer.
What are you gonna say?
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, all right. This is pretty good. This is pretty good. You know, here's a few things that I will work with you on. And I ended up, I think that was like, it was the first part, the first week in June. And he told me to come in on June 11th. June 11th, I started working at WNOV 860 AM.
I don't know if, for those who are listening, but growing up, it was an excitement of driving down. You know, I grew up on 14th and Burleigh, so we always on Titonia. It was something about riding past the radio station WNOV right there. It's an excitement you get. You hear you on the radio. To us growing up, it's like, a celebrity. Mm-hmm. Like, this is right here in the neighborhood.
Right.
Such an amazing feeling.
Yeah. So I started June 11th, and that's why, this year, June 11th, made my 35 years in radio and counting.
Let's go.
I'm not out of radio. What I'm saying? So that's why, just like once you have your birthday, you're already turning the next age. You just 8 days older than what you were. So you that next age.
Yes.
Whether you make it all the way to your next birthday or not, you are that age. After that age, we moving on. We in year 36 now. That's what we in. So I ended up doing that. He told me to come in June 11th, June 9th. So I'm following the jocks that were on the air and watching them, shadowing them. And I'm a quick learner.
Yeah.
So I was catching on very quick. And even when they would go to low power, where it'd be like, everybody be like, it's going to go to static at this time.
Yeah.
You can't hear it. So it was when sun go down, it was. So.
If you know, you know.
Right. So I was like, can I come in at night and still be trying to DJ? I know when nobody hearing me. They were hearing Canadian music because it's on the same band at that time as a Canadian station.
Yeah.
So you'd be hearing all Canadian music. And so he was like, yeah, absolutely. So I would come in when everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
And I would just be learning how to work the QRKs, the cart machines, learn the production. We had reel-to-reels that we had to cut commercials on.
Silver.
Yeah, with the big round wheels on it with the tape. We had to learn the splice to put the commercials together. Then we put it on the cart that looked like an 8-track tape.
Yeah.
They were called carts. But I had to learn and master all of that stuff, learning how to do the phones and turning. They had pots then, so you had to turn the round dials, so they were called pots.
Now.
And so you had to be swift with it. So when it was time to turn it down, you got to make it down. All right. And yeah, so it was an experience. And Juneteenth was fast approaching. And the newbie always had to do the Juneteenth. They had to stay at the station and do the board. So I had to babysit the board.
Yeah.
And take the calls as they would call in and talk about what's going on at Juneteenth and
so
the parade.
So you spent, this is why you are a legend, because you know all about radio on every level, every generation, all of the above.
That part.
I would, half of the things you mentioned, I didn't even know what they were.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But
ADAC machines. I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
But yeah.
We got home. We're blowing the building. When we come back from break, we're going to dig into some more radio. We want to hear from you. When you hear the name Homer Blow, what is the first memory that comes to your mind? 833-212-1017. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA.
101.7 in Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Please make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth, and follow us on social media at 101.7 The Truth and tap in MKE. Shout out to the chat. My sister Trina joining us all the way from Florida. Thank you so much. Homer, why are you still excited? What makes you excited about radio 35 years later?
Because I love what I do. And when you love what you do, you know, it's work, but it's not work.
That's right.
But I always try to let people know how important it is to, even though you love what you do and to be able to get paid doing what you love to do, never forget it's a job.
That's right.
Because once you forget it's a job, it's really kind of a wrap, so to speak.
Yep.
Because you begin to get complacent with different things. And you'd be like, man, why I got to do this? But like, hold on, because it's a job.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know it was all these reading and all of that kind of stuff. It's a job.
Yes.
And if you don't end up understanding, okay, well, I enjoy doing this job. I enjoy doing this work. Then it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
That it's work.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I used to be fun and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when I first got in radio, I used to hate being the caller that I call a radio station and be wanting the personality to answer. And they just wouldn't answer.
Yeah.
It wasn't even for a contest. I just wanted to request a song.
Yeah.
So I was like, they ain't answering the phone. So when I first got in radio, I was like, I'm going to answer every call. Aw,
come on.
And I was like, yep. And Ernie G would tell me, may he continue to rest in peace, and be like, listen, you ain't going to, don't worry about the phone lines like yeah. that. You know, I understand we got a contest going on. Yeah, yeah, but I'm answering everybody. Because I used to be the kid on the other line
yes.
that wasn't getting no answers. So I wanted to answer everybody. I was answering that phone. And then it just hit me after about a year or so in. I'm like, I can't even focus because you got so much other stuff.
Yeah.
You got PSAs you got to read.
Yep.
You got live commercials. You got all this kind of stuff. And then you got contests that you're doing.
Yeah.
So you tired of that damn phone.
Yep.
So I was seeing it ringing. I'm like, yep, they calling. But I'm not, it wasn't a priority. I'm like, because if I focus too much on this phone line, I'm going to mess up in another area.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I knew it was a time and space to say, call in if you want to comment on something.
Yes.
Call in if you want to be caller number 8. You know, call in. But, yeah, all that answering the phone every time, it plays out quick.
Yeah.
It plays out
so
quick.
So now you understand being the child on the other end of the line. Why?
Right. Yeah. I'm like, well, I get it. I apologize to everybody that I said it about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I get it now. I get it why you weren't answering the phone. But also with radio, when I got into radio, I was able to transcend to an even higher level.
Yeah.
So I was always a very popular DJ and person in the community, but you reach people that you would never even imagine. Some people don't go out, and the radio is their only friend.
Yes, absolutely.
It's literally their only friend. And they will fight for you. They will, you know, protect you. Be like, no, you better not say nothing. Jack, no, that's my girl.
Yep.
I listen to her all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, she was saying to this one person that she had on, and she said this. We're like, I don't give a damn.
Yep.
I will fight you.
Yeah.
And they will argue for you.
Yep.
You know, people coming to me like, yeah, Blow, I had to check this person. And they was like, I'm like, nah, y'all don't know who Homer Blow is then, you know. So I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
So we become their family.
Yeah.
We literally become their family. And that's why I like people to respect the world that you enter into.
Yes.
Because, you know, it means something to these people. And they become your friends. They become your family. And when you think about the chats and, you know, the callers, hey, how you doing, Jazz?
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like these some of those people are people you never met before.
Mm-hmm.
But they have come to learn and know you
and
be like, look, I like how you do your thing.
Yeah.
I also like how you handled this caller. I like how you did that interview. So, you know, people have to understand that's something that you got to hold near and dear to you.
Yes.
So, and me being in every facet, I've done the blues show. I've done the gospel show. I've done the R&B show. I've done the hip hop show. Done the classic old school show.
Yeah.
I've done talk radio. So I've done every dimension. I was in the production room producing and all of that kind of stuff. So I learned every facet. So when I was asked to, when Ernie G was relieved of his duties at WNOV, a few years after I got there, Mr. Jones and Sandra Robinson said, hey, we want to meet with you. Because Ernie had me doing basically the stuff that the program director and the music director do.
Yeah.
So I was like his favorite person. He was home team. That's what he would call me.
Yeah.
And so when it was a chance for me to excel, even though I didn't know that that's what was happening, when I heard that they had let him go, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like my hero, my mentor.
Yeah.
He brought me into radio. I never wanted to be in radio, but now I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and radio can be a gift and a curse because radio creates monsters.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this mic. It is a gift and a curse. It can turn somebody into somebody you don't even recognize anymore.
Yes.
So you have to be careful and learn how to control that portion of it and don't let it. Never think, and I tell everybody who's ever worked under me that I hired, never think you are bigger than the station.
Yeah.
I don't care how many, you know, I know that I'm the legendary Homer Blow.
Yeah.
But again, it's the truth.
Yeah.
101, the award-winning truth, 101.7 FM. And whether it's that I drop dead tomorrow, the truth will still be here.
Yeah.
WNOV will still, I have lived through a lot of people that worked for me and that worked at WNOV that are no longer here.
Yeah.
But WNOV is still here. So I try to let people know, like, yeah, don't let the listeners and the fans or, you know, swell your head up to where you're thinking you're above the brand.
That's right.
The brand is the brand.
That's right.
And so that's why I always say, you know, you make sure you represent that brand. Because even though some people can make you feel like, well, you know, you're the only reason I listen.
Yeah.
And tell you not.
Yeah.
And
hey, hello.
You know what I'm saying? And they may leave for a minute, and then they come back.
They come right back. That's
you feel
right.
what I'm saying? They got to have their little tantrum moment.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you know, I'm sure, like, when y'all came in, I'm sure some of the people that were always on some of the other shows, like, I ain't messing with them.
Yeah.
Who that?
Yeah.
Who that? Who that is?
Yeah, and they became
and now they done came black.
Accustomed to it,
there it is.
Now, but I think it takes them to understand the history and, like you said, just learn who you are, right? For example, you know, I've talked a lot about throughout multiple shows about our history, our history, my history with Ray, with him signing me to his label and taking me on tour for the first time, you know. So there's relationships at this station where you can tell that it's family oriented.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But as far as radio, what I will say is I feel like you and Bailey have done an excellent job at leading the way to where we have something to look forward to, or we had something to look forward to. So growing up, and now that I'm in this seat, growing up, thinking back of the WNOV days, when she was on V100, all of these things start to replay.
Right.
And now I can take that.
Absolutely.
You know, and apply it where I need to apply it to. And then with you being inside of the community 24/7, and I'm active in the community as well, I do know that this platform is supposed to be utilized to be fruitful, to impact.
Right.
You never know who you're going to inspire.
That part.
People want someone that's authentic, that they can relate to. And I've watched you do that for so many years, not just on WNOV, but Blow Radio as well. And you do it well.
Thank you.
You do
Thank
it you. Well. You are one of the few. You are who you are. You don't switch. It doesn't matter if you're in a club.
That's right.
If you're
That's
at a
right.
fest or on a radio, Homer is Homer.
That's right. Because nobody can be you but you.
That's right.
And it's very important that you never lose sight of that and just remember that fact. And when some people ask, you know, Homer, what is the key to your longevity? I said, well, I've always remained humble.
Yes.
You know, I've always remained humble. When people are scared sometimes, can I take a picture with you? Of course you can.
Yeah.
You know, so, and some people be like, you hear the whispers when you answer, that's Homer Blow. Yeah. I think that's Homer Blow. That's Homer Blow. Excuse me, ain't you Homer Blow? I told you, Mom. I told you that was him. I told you that was him. So, you know, all of those things, I don't take none of that lightly. And that's why I'm always so humbled when I end up receiving recognition and if I receive an award or anything like that. I'm always just grateful because I know it, I didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to choose me.
At all.
But oftentimes when you see people after I do receive something or they hear that I'm receiving something, one of the things to take note besides all the congratulations, go through some of those comments and you're going to see a lot of those people going to say you deserve it and thank you for what you do for the community.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time. So that means that I'm not chasing no awards.
Yeah.
I'm not chasing no accolades.
You're doing the work.
I'm doing the work. And the people know when I am recognized by some surprise. They be like, hey, we want to recognize you. You deserve that.
Well, you are doing the work. I am an example of that. Ray is an example of that because you've instilled things in us for so long. Mm-hmm. And now we get a chance to display it and say, hey, I've learned this from you. This is a part of the work. Outside of just giving.
And that's the joy
information.
That I get,
yes, indeed.
Yep.
We got Homer Blow in the building. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. What comes to your mind when you hear the legendary name Homer Blow? We got to go to break to pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We got the legendary, my fave, Homer Blow in the building. It's been an amazing conversation. We've talked about your life growing up, DJing Washington High School. We've talked about radio. We're going to double back into the birthday bash and how this came about. So where was the first place you've ever held the birthday bash at?
What is known as the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, Claiborne Benson's building, when he, you know, acquired that portion of it, you know, because it used to just be like that one part that used to be like a library or something.
Yeah.
Like it was just that. And then he ended up acquiring the side that back in the day used to be Ebony Q, where they had video and arcade games. So when he ended up acquiring that side of the building, which people go into now for Kwanzaa celebrations and just some of everything. And he has all of the pictures and history on the wall. And so, and he's built the stage. Wasn't none of that in there for the first inaugural Homer Blow birthday party for the kids. But that's where I had my first birthday party for the kids at. And it was just, you know, kind of dirt floor, dirt, you know.
Just space.
And just space. It was just a whole big empty space.
And you got it lit.
Yeah. For the first birthday party for the kids that I did, it was 500 kids.
And
it was like, so I was like, wow, okay, this is a good thing. And I had like paper flyers in, like, you know.
This was 94?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I ended up having just little paper flyers and whatnot. And I was like, all right, let's see how this go.
Yeah.
Let's see how this go.
Yeah.
And when them kids start coming, and back then I could have clowns and stuff.
Yeah.
Now everybody's terrified of clowns. I don't know if it's because it came out.
That was it for me. That was it for me.
So, yeah, I had free hot dogs and pizza, Kool-Aid, the red kind has always been there. And, you know, I put the colored lights, the disco lights in there, so the kids could feel like they were at a party. Because what happened was children knew that their parents and their grandparents and their other people, adults that they knew, that's always hearing my commercials saying, join Homer Blow. They ain't saying my name like how I would say it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be at this club. I'm going to be at that club. I'm going to be at Mr. J's. I'm going to be at 70s. I'm going to be at Reap Reflections. I'm going to be at wherever the heck I was going to be at. And the City Club, the original City Club, which I ended up shutting down. Because they was talking crazy about our black women that went there. The kids, when I would be out and about, whether I was doing some community work, and the kids would see me and be like, Homer Blow, they hear me on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'd be at Juneteenth and all the other celebrations and whatnot. And the kids would come up and be like, Homer Blow, can we come to your party? I'm like, nah, you got to be grown to get into the party. Yeah. Like, when can we come to your party? I said, you know what? I'm gonna do something for y'all. I'm gonna do something for y'all.
Wow.
And so because the community was changing, you know what I mean? It was changing. There was more violence moving into the inner city. And I was like, you know what? Let me try to do a party for these children and also help the parents at the same time. Because a lot of our children are deserving of a lot of these toys and gifts that they want because they're doing the right thing. They're staying on the right track. And I said, so how can I end up doing it? So at that time, you know, she wasn't my wife at the time, but Cheryl.
Shout out to Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. And so we would get together, you know, and my mother was still alive at that time. And Cheryl's mother, who was also recently deceased, like last year. But we would have them, you know, working the door and all of that kind of stuff. And we would end up giving them, I only was able to buy like $1,000 worth of toys at that time.
Yeah, but that was a lot back then.
Yeah, because it's coming out my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And we bought all the hot dogs and everything and paid the clowns and all that stuff. So, and the light set up, the DJ set up, all that stuff. So did that, and it was such an overwhelming success. And we took a picture. I'd have to really dig, but there is a big picture of a lot of the kids and us, and we in that big old empty building.
Yeah.
But it was an excellent situation. And then I carried on. And the party has moved around to a few different locations. Mm-hmm. I was at Hillside Boys and Girls Club for some years. Also, Mr. J's,
yeah.
Right? But it was Brooklyn's.
Yep.
So I'd done a couple of the parties there on the side that turned into Mr. J's.
Yep.
And the outside parking lot. So I'd done a couple of parties there. I'd done a few parties at what used to be the Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters Hall.
Yep.
Which is now.
Hope.
Yeah, yeah. Which is now a library or something?
Yep.
So, it's been some places. It's been some places. And the Park Lawn YMCA. The Holton Youth Center down on Burlock. Yeah, there. SDC on 36th and Wright.
Yes.
There. So, you know, it's traveled to some places. And then I remember when at that time Alderman Willie Wade, he had to wait in line. He was coming to give me a proclamation. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But he was like, he called me and was like, Homer, can you get me in? I'm like, huh? I'm like, what you mean? Because, see, I'm always DJing, so I only get to see what's happening outside after the party when I see all these pictures or video clips.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always bananas.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how long the lines were. And he's like, I can't get in. And so I had to give somebody my phone and be like, here.
Yeah.
Talk to the alderman and get him in.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, thanks. You know, so I had to get him
down.
Yeah, it was going down. And the party was, you know, was lit. And again, originally, now the party is free to get in now.
Yeah.
But remember, the kids wanted to know if they could come to my parties that I'm DJing. So I started out with it being 25 cents.
Yeah.
It was 25 cents.
Earn your way up in here.
Right. And so I would, in the commercials that I would cut, I'd be like, so make sure, you know, I do my baby blow voice.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and so make sure y'all do y'all choice so y'all can get y'all money so y'all can come to the party. You know, so I'm doing all that and be like, so y'all be good and all of that so y'all can get y'all money and come to the party. So all of the commercials sounded like that. And but what we'd also do is we'd have so many people from the community because they knew the work that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
They would just bring $10 rolls of quarters. So no kid ever got turned around if they didn't have 25 cents. Because people were like, here, take these. I'm bringing $50 worth of quarters and all of that. So no child ever got turned around. But to see the joy on those children's face when they got to put their quarter in the little bucket.
We got into Homer Blow Party.
Yes. And then they come in, the lights and the strobe light and all of that. So they really enjoyed themselves, and I enjoyed being able to do it. And just over the years, it continued to grow. And I was kind of shocked that it took so long before real other sponsors really start joining in.
Because
the party was like 15, 16 years old before I started getting big sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't stop because the kids meant that much to me.
Yes.
I wanted those kids to experience what it was like to be a child.
Yes.
We have to guard them so much. I could ride my bike when I was coming up 3-4 blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
I could, you know, walk to the swimming pool, no problem, at Lincoln Park or wherever I was going, or Washington Park. But our children now, we don't want them halfway out of our sight.
That's right.
So I wanted them to be able to feel what it's like to be a child.
Yes.
And that was my goal. I tell my volunteers, be like, hey, don't tell them to stop running. Mm-hmm. Because they're kids. They got energy.
Yeah.
They supposed to be running.
Right.
They meet friends and all of that kind of stuff. So that has been the main premise of that party and giving them gifts. Be like, blow, it's your birthday.
Yeah.
How you giving other people gifts?
Yeah.
Who do that?
Mm-hmm.
And they, like me.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it's changing their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hear about the changes almost daily, Jazz. People that say, yeah, man, I came to your party, man. And they remember exactly what they got.
Yeah.
Whether it was a bike, whether it was a doll, whether it was a basketball,
yes.
whether it was some type of toy that they liked, and easy bake ovens, whatever it was. And they always say, like, I remember I got this, and I still got this. And rest in peace to Van Johnson. He had ended up adopting two foster kids, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they came from troubled homes or whatnot. And he was like, you know, Blow, I got two foster kids, man, and I really hope they can get a bike. And so I made, you know, special arrangements, and I was like, here, I took them, two bikes. And even though his foster son, before, you know, he passed away, he was graduating. And I went by the house, and they was like, Blow, come here, look in the garage. That's the bike that you gave him. Now, he 10-speed plus now if he getting a bike.
But he's like, still got it.
He won't let us throw it away.
Yeah.
He said, Blow, he will not. They will not let us throw these bikes away.
Yes.
And so those type of things, like I say, it lets me know that I'm making a difference.
That impact.
That impact is there. And some of those children, when they come to the party, it may be their first time eating that day and the last time
eating that day.
So that's why I'm like, yeah, come get as much as you like. Get as much as you like.
And it takes a person like you to do it. I would be interested in seeing the first picture and posting it and seeing like a reunion with the very first Homer Blow kids and having them come back and do it again.
Yep, I had to dig through the archives.
Yep, you got to dig through the crates. We got Homer Blow in the building. When we come back from break, we're going to talk a little bit more about radio. We want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. What is your favorite Homer Blow memory? It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. .7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live in Zagreb. We got the legendary, my favorite, Homer Blow in the building. Homer, we had an amazing conversation today.
Absolutely.
16 years later, I'm here interviewing you.
That part.
You was interviewing me. Before we go, there's a couple things. As we went down memory lane again, from my childhood, I remember riding past WNOV on Titonia. And I remember listening to you. I even remember when the station would start to static.
Right,
it goes off, right?
Yeah, AM daytimer.
What was it about black radio back in the day that made it so powerful?
You know, because we were able to speak to us.
Yes.
You know, and not be afraid to speak to us and not be afraid to be accused of, you trying to talk black? No, I am black.
That's right.
And it's one of the reasons that I say black instead of the word B-A-C-K. I want people to know, I'm black. Yeah, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my culture. I'm not ashamed because some people try to run from it like imitation of life.
Yes.
You know, to act like, I ain't this, I ain't that. No, I am absolutely.
That's right.
I'm absolutely. And just to know that we were able to help and continue to help so many black-owned and operated businesses. There are so many musical artists that are where they are today that have become platinum and Grammy Award-winning and gold because of radio, black radio. Because we're sure not, you know, necessarily getting the play that we would need on other radio stations that are not black radio stations and not afraid to be a black radio station.
Right.
To be able to use our isms and the different things that we know we can understand. I don't care if you can't understand. We know.
That's right.
We know because they got language that they can say that we don't know what the hell they saying, but they saying something to them.
That's right.
So it's our expression. If we're talking about creating a Bronzeville, a black Mecca again, a black Wall Street. This is why black radio is so, so important. It is so, so important. So we have to be able to support us.
That's right.
We always support everything else.
Yeah.
But we have a hard time sometimes supporting us.
Yeah.
We'll go and raise the money to spend and advertise on some of the stations that you're not going to get the return that you're going to get from a black station.
That's right.
Because we understand. We know why you're advertising this event. We're going to help try to push this event a little bit more for you.
That's right.
Because we know why you're doing it. We know that you are a promoter. We know that you are an investor. We know that you sell real estate. Other people ain't the only ones that can sell real estate. We do too.
And so, we shop with you.
There we go. You know what I'm saying? So it's important for people to not let black radio just become extinct.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So It's so, so important, and it's one of the things that have kept me. I had several chances to go to V100, mm-hmm. but I always opted to remain at WNOV.
Come on now. These are the things that the people don't know.
Right.
And that's important because that means that you were not to say not willing to conform, but you just stayed true to yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to your people.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like I say, there were Tony Fields, you know, Nate Bell. It was a lot of different program directors that it came through V100. And they were like, hey, man, come on, man. Tony Fields would always say, you know, Homer, one of the things that I love about you is, you know, he said, a lot of my jocks, they got listeners. But you got a listener base, which means that people will follow you. So if you go from here to here,
they're going
to
go too.
They're coming there too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he said, that's worth more than just a listener. He said, no, we don't count out listeners, but with you, you know, yes. I know that if you would come over here, your people would come over here too.
Yes, absolutely.
And why did I not take any of those offers? The same reason I just said. WNOV was grounded and rooted in our inner city.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
You know, could have took a chance and moved somewhere else. But nope, even when we moved, we just moved to 20th and Capitol.
Yes.
Right down the street. Still right in the heart of our inner city. So we ain't just talking about we here for the community. We appreciate the community. We're there. We're showing. We're doing events.
Absolutely.
We're letting you know where you can get help and resources at. And that's what it's about.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
And shout out to the Milwaukee Courier. I made a post today. In 1996, my mom called Mrs. Maddie Bell Woods, rest her soul. Mm-hmm. And she captured me doing some poetry. And then 30 years later, I was on Milwaukee Courier again for Juneteenth. And it was an amazing feeling. So before we head out, for those who are joining us earlier in the show, I mentioned the advice that you have given me throughout the years. And there was specific advice that changed my life. The first one was not to be one-dimensional, which is why, if any of you are wondering why, I've had my hands.
Yeah, in some of everything.
In some of everything. It was that advice, right? And I'm grateful for that because I always have a backup. I know how to pivot.
There you go.
Secondly, it was my attitude, you know, how I approach things, how to not let things disrupt my peace and the business side of it. Today, as a 38-year-old woman who is now on radio working with you inside side by side, what advice do you have for me knowing what I've been through, watching me grow? What can you share with me that will help me become better at what it is that I'm doing now?
You know, always remain focused. And again, like I say, remember, we are working for a brand. And when you are working for a brand, you have to keep that first and foremost. And we have to be able to keep our attitudes in check. Because a lot of times people really do begin to believe that they're bigger than the brand.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
We can be here this morning and gone this morning.
That's right.
Not the next day, this morning.
Yeah.
Feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get off the air, it's over.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
So just always remember that and don't let go of the other parts of you that you have built. Keep the foundation of all those other parts.
Yeah.
Because whatever one sinks, you got a foundation. So you can just climb right to the next one. And be like, let me go back to doing this. I'm also great at this.
Yes.
Because some people will try to discourage you. Some people will think that I'm going to take your lollipop away and you're just going to cry and be like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I always have something.
Yeah. Blowradio.com. Ain't nobody taking that.
That's right.
18 years and counting.
That's right. That's
still right. Doing what I love to do.
That was Blow Radio, fun fact, was the very first interview that I've ever done.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, so you've been the name we don't say now, but Diddy has been on there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's been a lot of national artists and comedians that have been on that. I get it. that part. And shout out to all of the Milwaukee artists. Like, with WNOV, any radio station, I don't care which radio station it is, especially here in the city, but I challenge it all over the country,
yeah,
that have played more Milwaukee artists,
yes,
than me.
Yep.
And I don't just put you in one little time spot and be like, yeah, you're going to be on late evening. No, your song is coming on right behind, yep, whatever the number one song in the country is.
That's right.
Because
that's
I've right. always supported my Milwaukee artists. And I don't like when they call themselves local artists, because local, you think local, you stay local.
Mm-hmm.
You're an artist from Milwaukee.
That's right.
And let's go take over the world.
That's right. That's right. Before we leave, what advice do you have to the youth? If there's anything you can say to the youth, what would it be?
You have people that are willing to listen. You have to understand that a conversation is between more than just you.
Yeah.
So we want to listen to you, but you have to also listen and respect us as
yes.
well. Because if you don't, it will keep that divide. So if you want us to listen to you, you have to be willing to listen to us. We're trying to give you things that we already been there, done that. We know some times have changed,
mm-hmm.
but the situations and the circumstances have
not. That's right.
So,
that's right. The only thing changed is the date.
That's it.
That's it. Homer, I love you dearly.
I love you more.
I am so grateful for you, for all of your advice, and just for being a dope human being.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to continue to working with you.
Yes.
Not just radio, but community, and I pray that God continues to enhance your anointing. It's so big. It's so bright. And I encourage those under me, if you don't know Homer Blow, especially if you are in the entertainment field, to please do, because he's going to be able to give you a piece of advice, something that's not tangible, that will stay with you forever and that can change your life forever. Please make that connection, Homer. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Make sure y'all tap in.
It's my honor.
To the morning show tomorrow with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman. Thank you so much, Homer, for rocking out with me today.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
it's my
it.
Honor, and I love you. And keep doing what you're doing. You're only going to continue to grow and become stronger and better at being a radio personality for a talk show.
Thank you. I received that. Thank you so much. We got to go to break. Don't touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.